Alright, hi everybody and welcome to Lecture 28 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today we are going to discover the New World alongside Columbus and start to transform, see the world being transformed by these great explorers of the Age of Discovery. So before we get into that, just a couple things about the web page itself. We're not doing a facts practice this morning, but I did want to show you on the class web page for November, which is there now, right? Because we are into November. I've got some recommended readings for you. So Abby was asking me about this, and these are my favorite books on the explorers of the Age of Discovery. So there's one on Prince Henry, there's one on Columbus. And there's one on some other explorers called the Cabots, which is pretty interesting too. So you can click on these and it'll take you to Amazon and you might be able to find them at your local library or, you know, there's different places you can look. And I really recommend these. So if you're a younger student, like a lower L student, you might want your parents to read these to you or read them together. If you're an upper L student, you can probably read them on your own and they are quite interesting. They have a lot of good visuals. They're called visual biographies. So there's lots of pictures and stuff that's maps and things that are really fun. Down here on the new class web pages for November, you'll see the class notes for week 10. And you will also see, whether it is lower L or upper L, you will see facts practices now. 1C and 1D. So I was asked earlier about whether or not we're going to do facts practice today. I want to have as much time as we need for Columbus, so I don't want to do facts practice today. We're going to do it tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be facts practice 1C, the new one. So if you are in lower elementary or upper elementary, it doesn't matter. They're different, of course. But we will do a drill of facts practice 1C. Of course, the only difference with 1C and 1D is the order of the facts. And in the lower L, the which facts are chosen, because there's only four per sheet. Right? So what this is the reason why I like to mix up the order of the facts is because you can get into a little bit of a rut when you start thinking of things exactly in a certain order. So it's better to mix things up and let your mind come at the facts in lots of different ways. So that's just a little trick that I do to mix up the order of them. Okay? So to answer the question about facts practice for anybody who's interested, tomorrow we are going to do facts practice 1C. All right, so let's leave that for the time being and get back to the world after this character here we've been talking about, Prince Henry. We return to the world, a world that looks like this. It's a strange looking world, and it's not always easy to tell where things are here. And I know that when Patrick looks like this, He's kind of telling me, Dad, I don't really get this map. And that's completely fair. It is quite a strange map. Because if you look over here, even at... let me make an even better rectangle around this with a nice bright red rectangle. How about that? Even if you look at this corner of the map, which is Europe, you might have trouble recognizing it, right? It's still not easy to do, and it's a good exercise to just compare this map to a map of the world that's actual and true, so that you can see, oh yeah, this part was good, but this part was good, but maybe this part not so much. Okay, and so make sure you look around at this compared to other maps, because it's pretty difficult. And for certain, one of the most important things about what people didn't know before the time of Columbus was even what Africa looks like. This is just not right, the way that this is shown. Right? We know Africa to look quite different. If we want to look at it correctly, this is the shape of Africa that we are used to. Right? In 1492, how this was starting to become known. And so if we compare that to what people thought, even at the end of the Dark Ages, before the Age of Discovery had really revealed everything, there was still such a limitation of knowing. And we'll get to a couple of the details of that in a second here. And then if you really want to look at Asia, it just, quite frankly, the Europeans didn't know what it looked like, did they? I mean, if you look at this, the yellow part, with the dark being the water, just a reminder there, if you're still having trouble seeing it, it doesn't look right. This right here is supposed to be India and Sri Lanka. Look at that compared to the real way that it looks. Look how pointy India is over here. And look how small this island is. Right? If we look at the way they thought it was, they didn't get it at all. And this island looks really big. So there's lots of mistakes on here. And we shouldn't, we should kind of expect that, right? Because how were people to know? This is the big question. How was anybody supposed to know any better? They couldn't know any better except by going and finding out and then also figuring out how to draw it properly. And it was very interesting because around the time of Columbus, the Europeans were starting to get good at drawing maps. And I want to show you a map of what they were learning to do during the Dark Ages. It was really not easy to do. You can probably not even see this very well. But take a close look at this map from the Dark Ages. This is called a Portolan chart. A Portolan chart. Now, if you can't make out any of the features on this map, it probably won't look very interesting to you. So let me help you by showing you where Italy is again. It's always useful to see where Italy is again. So, what's the best way for me to do that? I guess the best way for me to do that is to show you this is one side, oopsie, this is one side of Italy here. Okay, down to the heel of the boot. This is the other side, and this is the pointy part right here. Okay, so I'm going to take that away. I'm going to take that away for a second and let you look at it again on your own. Okay, and if you can see the shape of Italy there. Long and narrow. And why are there all these lines written on here? Is because a Portolan chart means it's a chart that shows you all the ports in a sort of basic sort of way. It was a technique that the navigators used to say, where are all the ports? And they would draw these lines on their charts. See, there's a line right here. Right? This was a line that told you if you were in a certain place and you went in a certain direction, where you would end up. Because what the geographers and the explorers had to do was they had to figure out a way to record what they were learning. So how do you do that? Well, you face in a certain direction. The easy way is you're in a port right here. You face in a certain direction and you start going that way. And then you record, how long does it take you to get there? How fast were you going and how long does it take you to get to that spot? And then you have a special record. And then you report back to one of the map makers and you say, this is how far it is from this spot right here to this spot right here, going in this direction. And then they have 2 points they can put on the map. And they keep on collecting the information, and they keep on collecting the information. Until, after the time of Columbus, ha-ha! We have a Portolan chart. You see all these lines again? Going off in all different directions, saying, if you go in this direction, you end up over there. Right? Then you got these really this is looking good, isn't it? Patrick, a question?
Well, you may get stuck over there from
the line. Well, yeah, certainly there's islands in between, right? Yeah, okay, but that's not the point. The point is, of course, if you start over here at this port and you go in that direction, you're going to hit the island. So you go around and then you keep going in that direction and you might hit another island. And then you keep going in that direction, you get all the way to Northern Africa, right? Okay, but so that was the idea of the charts. And so Columbus, this young person named Christopher Columbus, was one of the people in Europe working on these things, as we're going to learn here shortly. And eventually, they started to have pretty darn good maps. They're not perfect, are they? They're still not perfect. This is almost 100 years after Columbus, actually, this map. So it really shows us how hard it was to get this right. and how long it took for people to really figure things out. Okay? So this is 100 years after Columbus. If we go back to, 50 years before Columbus, we're having trouble, aren't we? People were having trouble figuring out the right answers about what the world looks like and how big is it and everything. And so after Prince Henry, even though he had done a lot of hard work and the Portuguese had done a lot of good work, right, even by 1480 here, let me zoom in on this a little bit. This was the Portuguese explorers and how far they were able to go, right? Under Prince Henry, they had made it right here. Right, we talked about this, Cape Verde, which is the westernmost point of Africa, and from Portugal, right, going down this way. Actually, I can use an arrow, can't I? How do I do it? There we go. Okay, so Portuguese are coming this way, of course, right? And then they're starting to head this way. And then by 1455, but in Prince Henry's time, they're getting there. And then by 1480, they were about here. And this became important because they would get distracted a lot by big rivers. Because they would think, maybe we can do this. Maybe there's a shortcut across the continent. We can use big rivers and we'll get to a big lake in the middle. And then the big lake will go into another river and we'll be able to go across instead of around. So they worked many, many years, decades on this challenge and couldn't solve it until Bartolomeo Diaz, who came just before Columbus, managed to do it. So I'm going to see. We still haven't gotten here. At first they thought, oh, the water here is going to be too hot at the equator. They called it the boiling waters. And they figured out, no, it's not. We can get past the equator. We don't have to be afraid. And we keep going and keep going. And eventually we're going to get... Eventually, this thing, maybe it has a bottom. Does it have a bottom? Oops, I'm sorry. Does it have a bottom? Yes, it does. It does. It does. Here it is. They were getting close. And in 1492, they had found the bottom. The explorer who managed to do that, his name was Bartolomeo Diaz. I can go ahead and write that in a little chat box for y'all. Here we go. Bartolomeo Diaz. And he found the bottom of Africa in about 1488 or so. Just about 4 years before Columbus. So, it's interesting because along comes this character, Christopher Columbus, and he tells the King of Portugal, I have a different way to get to Asia. I have a different way to get to Asia. But the King of Portugal is not interested in hearing this. Why? Because Bartolomeo Diaz has said, we know now how big Africa is. We're ready to go. We know now how big Africa is. We can get around it. So when Christopher Columbus came to him and said, I'm going to take us this way, the King of Portugal said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't really need your help to go a special way that nobody knows about and doesn't make sense to anybody. We already have a way that works, right? Because Bartolomeo Diaz had found this way starting in 1488. Oh, that wasn't the best way for me to write it on the screen. But anyway, right around here, he's getting already, Diaz has found this particular way. So, it's going to be a tough sell for this character that we know as Christopher Columbus to convince people to go a different way. And there have been many stories told about Christopher Columbus and how he finally came to this idea and how hard it was for him to convince everybody. There are a lot of fascinating ones, and I'm just going to take these annotations off for the time being. So I want to focus on a few things that are, I think, pretty clearly known about Columbus and pretty interesting to learn about him, rather than some of the things that are big arguments that, quite frankly, nobody's ever going to be able to figure out the answer to. So one of the most interesting things that I like about Christopher Columbus was that before he went to the Americas, he was from Genoa, which is right here in Italy. So this is a good map of Europe. We can see everything clearly. Right? And Christopher Columbus was from Genoa right here. And he had been traveling on ships as a boy on these Mediterranean trade routes. So he knew these areas of the Mediterranean, and he knew about these kinds of charts that European explorers used. And probably as a boy, he might have sneaked a peek at these things and was trying to figure them out and understand them. And eventually, he had come on a ship, a Genoese ship, out here and in the Mediterranean, and the ship had broken up in a storm. And he had barely made it to shore and arrived in Portugal. What a great place to arrive as a kind of accident. His brother was already working in Portugal as a map maker. And so Christopher Columbus joined his brother and learned the art of map making. So he became one of these people. He actually had to learn Latin. He had to teach himself Latin. He had to become literate. He had to learn how to read and write. And he had to learn how to make maps, which he did. And he became fascinated by all of these things that were going on. And he read, we've already seen the Gutenberg copy of the travels of Marco Polo that Christopher Columbus had. So he was very excited. And as an explorer, not so much as an explorer, as a trader and as a merchant, he got onto Portuguese ships and went all over the place. He went on missions with Portuguese traders down to Africa. So this was the newest places that people had been. He, as far south as Europeans had ever been, and he also went on Portuguese trading ships as far north as Iceland. So basically, before Christopher Columbus got his exciting idea, he'd gone everywhere that Europeans had ever been. So he had already been to every place there was to go that was interesting and mysterious, and, well, there really wasn't much more that you could do as a European person unless you did something completely new. Unless you came upon an idea, as Christopher Columbus did, that there was a way to go somewhere else. And so how did Christopher Columbus come upon this idea? How did he come up with the idea that you could go to Asia? Right? Because the main idea about the world didn't really help people to figure that out. A map like this from the Dark Ages, of Frau Moro's map, didn't really give you a clear idea. Was it possible to keep going past the edge of this map here and go around? And people argued about this. Some people in the time of Christopher Columbus were pretty sure that the Earth is a sphere. Others were not. There were so-called flat Earth believers and so on. But there's a kind of a funny picture here from a manuscript from the Dark Ages of a guy who was pretty convinced that the Earth is round. And this is kind of funny because it's a little picture that shows you the idea that's a little bit tricky to guess or to think about what it means for the Earth to be round. So during the Dark Ages, here was this man writing this book. And so he shows this man in red and a man in blue. And he says, well, they start walking in opposite directions. If the Earth is round, here was the main idea. If the Earth is round and the man in red starts walking this way. Right? Let me try to annotate this here. If the Earth is round, right? And the man in red starts walking this way. And the man in blue starts walking this way. Pretty soon, they're on opposite sides of the planet, both of them facing downwards, right? And if they keep walking exactly in a perfect opposite direction to each other, what's going to happen? This is the funny question it's hard to kind of think this through really and imagine this, because nobody ever had done this or could do this, right? But what would happen, Abby?
would end up bumping into each other.
They would end up running into each other, standing completely upside down with the blood rushing to their heads. Now, that's a little bit of a joke. But the truth is, people had trouble understanding this notion. They had trouble thinking this through because there was no knowledge, there was no scientific knowledge of gravity and how it works. And there were people called the antipodes, the people that walk upside down, that the Europeans, that a lot of them were arguing, that can't possibly be. And nobody knew. There were people of all different stripes and beliefs concerning the world. And, well, the thing is, this is not something that you have to just believe about. Right? You don't have to settle for that. There was a way to know, wasn't there? There was a Greek way to know. And luckily, in the age of discovery, that had been embraced again. The way to know was to start walking. Of course, not walk. Right? The way to know was to get in a boat and start sailing. And keep going and keep going as bravely as you can. And if you run out of courage, then you go back to Portugal and then try again next time. And keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and learning and making maps. And so, of course, going west was a big mystery. Whether or not there was the possibility of really going west, as Columbus said, was possible, right? Like this, as he's going to do in 1492. Nobody really knew. And people argued and they said, there's no way you could go that far. And there was a lot of arguments. And Christopher Columbus had a map that was made by an Italian geographer named Toscanelli. And this is a map from 1474, and it was a very fascinating map. And so if you look over here on this side, right, we have Portugal right here. Well, don't need an arrow for that, but here we have Portugal and the rest of Europe, right? There's England with London marked on the map. And so this was a map that they were guessing, the geographers of Europe were guessing where everything is. And so they said, okay, if this is Europe and we go west and we do our best calculations, well, over here we get to something called, at the time they called it Cathay. What would that have been for real? Even though it's really hard to make sense of the map, right? What's this big chunk of the world in real terms, right? What would it have been? Caleb?
America.
No. Well, yeah, you're talking about the stuff that's in light blue, which is the real map of the world. In the map that they didn't really understand the world, they thought over here was this orange stuff. And Rosetta, what did they think that was?
China.
Yeah, and what did they think this island chain over here was? We know there is an island chain next to China in Asia as well. At the time, they called it Sipangu. Does that sound like any country we know? Not very closely, but it is one of the countries. Abby?
Japan,
yeah, right. So we've got China over here and Japan over here. So see, if we look at the way that Columbus thought of the world, he wasn't right. But he thought of the world that this was the size of the ocean. And that if you left Europe on a voyage westward, went over here to what's called the Canary Islands, they belong to Spain. So that way you get a head start. And then you go this way. There was a myth about an island over here that doesn't exist. But he thought maybe you could get to that one. And then maybe if you just keep going, you're going to run into Japan. Now, evidently, you're not going to. Evidently, you're not going to. Because in light blue, we have the real world. Now, of course, Christopher Columbus could not know that. Right? Because nobody had done this exploring before. So if he's going to follow this direction, right? If he's going to follow the plan that he had and just keep doing what he said he would do, what's going to happen? Go to the Canary Islands. Are you going to hit this island called Antilla? No, you're not, because it doesn't exist. So that was a myth. And if you go over here, what are you going to run into? For real. Right? For real. The light blue stuff over here. America. Now, as it turns out, just before you reach Florida, you're going to hit the Bahamas, a set of islands right over here. And when Christopher Columbus hit these islands, guess he thought he was hitting these islands, these orange ones. Right? He thought he was really close to Asia. And so he did. He goes off on this voyage based on his Toscanelli map. He argued with everybody, and finally Queen Isabella said, okay, here's a boat. Go see what you can do. And this is a map that I made of the first voyage of Christopher Columbus, kind of trying to imagine the curved earth as he's heading around. He went down to the Canary Islands and across here. It took 5 weeks to sail across here. 5 weeks of heading in one direction without stopping. Imagine sailing into a completely empty horizon for 5 weeks in a row. That you don't know if you're ever, you don't know, you can't possibly know. You don't know if you're, when you're ever going to reach land, unless you're Christopher Columbus and you're convinced that there is land coming up. That science has showed us that it's possible to go west, and yep, we're going to get there eventually. We have to keep going, and of course, finally, he does arrive. So after 5 weeks of sailing in this direction, straight on, Christopher Columbus arrives in the Americas, and of course, we've seen what happens. It was a surprise. It was strange, as we know. This is not Japan. This is not the Empire of China. This is not the place that Marco Polo described. Right? This is a place with very primitive naked people running around. So it's very curious. And we know that he gave them a kind of strange name, right? And it stuck for the longest time, right? What did people call the natives that they found? What did they call them, Nemo?
Indians.
Indians, because they were thought to be the people of the Indies, the islands next to Asia. They called them Indians. And he thought that's where they might be. They had little trinkets of gold. They had little things. So Columbus thought, well, we've got to be in the right neighborhood, right? So this is what he did. He started to sail around here. He went down to this big island. The natives pointed to this, and they said, there's a big island over here. So he thought, oh, maybe this is Cipangu. So he found Cuba and then kept going to this other island over here, Hispaniola. And by this point, this was weeks of looking around, and, well, this was not the place he thought it was. It was pretty interesting, but there were exciting things that had never been found before. So sugar and tobacco and all kinds of fun things that the people didn't have in Europe. And so he collected as many of these interesting things as possible and got ready to sail back to Europe. And we'll get to the story of what happened after this. It's going to be a challenging story to kind of try to understand. But one of the ships, and eventually one of the ships broke in the Americas. I think it was the Santa Maria. And so Columbus decided, I'm going to leave some of my men over here. I'm going to leave some of my men right here in the Americas, and then I'm going to go back to Europe. And so we'll see that starts the really difficult story of the people of Europe and how they were and how they behaved and the way they decided to treat these naked primitive people that they were encountering, because they were so disappointed that they weren't the rich Japanese and Chinese people of Asia. Right? Here we have people like this. Here we have these people who just don't care about what's going on in the Americas. And they're very disappointed. They're very uninterested in what Christopher Columbus has accomplished. They're looking around thinking, where's the gold? Oh, maybe there's some gold here in the sand. And that's about all they're thinking. And so it's going to become a tricky story to follow how they behaved when they got to the Americas. But at least it's been found, and pretty soon we're going to go from this idea of the world, right, that doesn't make sense and that everybody has trouble figuring out and it doesn't look right, to a proper picture of the world. At least we know, thanks to Christopher Columbus, that there's something there's something out here. We don't yet know how big it is or how significant it is, but we now know what to do in order to figure it out. We don't need to read ancient Greek geography books. We need to go there. And the explorers are going to start doing it. And pretty soon, we know this. Much of it thanks to Columbus himself also. And pretty soon, we know this. Pretty soon we know all of this, and right, we're having a globalized world that's completely connected, thanks to the explorers. All right, so we'll follow up on how we go from Christopher Columbus's initial discovery, which nobody quite knew what it represented, to a clear picture of the world. Much more like what we know today. So we're getting there. The age of discovery is starting to change our understanding of the world. All right, folks, that's all we have time for today. So make sure you get your facts practice 1C, and we will practice that at the beginning of tomorrow's class. All right, thanks. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.